This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
Hallelujah. I thank God He's so faithful, especially there's something about a Tuesday night that He just always comes in such a special way on this night. Praise God. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And the message tonight is entitled, Pray Like This. Pray Like This. Father, we just thank You tonight that you are here, Lord. We thank You, Lord, where You are, there is a spirit of liberty. I pray now, Lord, by Your Spirit, Lord, You would bring the liberty. You would bring what we need tonight, Lord. You would come upon this word, and You would make it, Lord, such life and light to us. I pray, Lord, that it would do a lasting work. I pray it would do an eternal work. I pray this word, Lord, would have an eternal weight. Lord, it will, if You will come. It will come, if You, Holy Spirit, will teach it to us. We thank You, Lord, that we are a privileged people to sit, Lord, where Your Spirit is, and that where, Lord, You teach us. We thank You, Lord, we don't take it for granted, and we thank You for it. In Your precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Luke 11. It starts in that verse that says that Jesus came to pass as He was praying in a certain place that when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray. And I was thinking on that, and when Jesus went aside to pray, what happened to Him? What caused the disciples, as soon as He had ceased, one of them went to Him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And, you know, did Jesus, after coming from prayer, seem like another man? When He came back into their presence, was there such a radiance on His face? Was there something that all of a sudden the joy came back, the burdens were lifted? Did He seem so transformed? There was something that as soon as He ceased, they came up and said, whatever You're doing, would You teach it to us? Whatever happens to You, we want that to happen. Whatever it is, when You go away and You come back, there is something so transforming about what You do. And maybe they were thinking, after, you know, being schooled in religion, that prayer didn't feel like that to them. Prayer didn't look like that on them. Prayer just didn't seem to have the same transforming effect on them. And so they say to Jesus, teach us to pray. And Jesus basically says, okay, pray like this. Pray like this. And he starts and he says to them, when you pray, say, Our Father. And it's such a simple thing. I mean, I'm sure that many of us, if you've been a Christian any length of time, you've probably heard a message on Lord, teach us to pray. And what Jesus shared with them on how to pray. But you know, sometimes the simplest things are the deepest, most profound things, and we can skip over them because we think we know. But He says, when you pray, He says, start with saying, Our Father. Start by saying, My Father. And I think that's the key to all of prayer, right there, is that when we pray to our Father. When we pray to our Father. When we speak to God, we're speaking to our Father, the perfect parent, That is who we're talking to. We're talking to our Father who delights in His children. We're talking to our God whose life is bound up in our life. His life is bound up in us. Everything about Him is His heart, His mind is trained on us. There is never a time He takes His eye off us. There is never a time His concern is not for us. There is never a time He ceases being a perfect Father in the full sense of the word. Every time we go to prayer, we're praying to a Father who longs for a relationship with us. We are praying to our Father. And there's something about that word that creates a longing in us. There's something about the word Father. You know, there's this sense of, if I had a Father that I could be proud of, if I had a Father that I knew His life was bound up in mine, if I had a Father that I could be proud of, that I could take anybody home to meet Him, if I had a Father, my life would be so ordered. There would be such a difference in it. And Jesus is saying, when you pray, you say, "My Father." Because He's reminding us we have a Father. We have a spiritual Father. We are not fatherless. We're not orphans. We are praying to someone who loves us. We are praying to someone that there could be, He could not have more care for us, more concern, where His life is invested in ours, and He's going to train us well. He's not going to desert us in our hour of need, that He's decided to bound up His name and His reputation with ours. No matter how rebellious, no matter how wayward we seem, He will get His hands dirty. He will come into our life and He says, "I'm your Father, so I'm here to train you. I'm your Father, so I'm giving you my name. I'm going to cover you. I'm going to train you." And when we come into the Father's house, we see order and we see beauty here. We see right thinking here. He says, "That's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to bring order to your life. I'm going to bring a beauty into it. I'm going to give you right thinking." Maybe you have not been fashioned because of a lack in your life, a lack in our lives of an earthly Father. But God says, "That's changed now. You have a Father. You have a Father who's going to pour His life into you, and has through His Son, Jesus Christ, and He's going to bring right thinking. You have a Father that will defend you. You will have a Father that never takes His eye off you." Jesus says, when you pray, say, "Our Father." He says, "Who art in heaven." You have a Father who is in heaven. And here is who we're praying to, our Father who is so far above the pettiness, so far above the turmoil of this life that we're in, so far above the turmoil that we may be living in a moment in our minds, so far above the pain, so far above the disorder. He lives in heaven. And because He lives so high up there, He sees all. He's above all. Our Father lives in an uncorrupted place because He is uncorrupted. Heaven is Him. And He is totally uncorrupted. And it's a place He's bringing us to one day. And it's a place our Father is now fitting us to go to. He's preparing for us to go there. And now that He lives in heaven and He looks down, He sees everything. He sees the whole situation. When we pray, "Our Father, You who see it all, You who know everything, You know the way in and You know the way out. There is nothing hid from Your eyes. There is nothing that You don't see in me. There is nothing You don't see around me, that You are not above it all. And You alone see things like that. The devil can't see things like that. The world system, I can't see things as You see it. So Lord, I come to a God, a Father with answers. I come to a Father with wisdom. I come to a Father who lives above it all and is not tainted by what is bothering me." And then it says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed." Hallowed. That's an old-fashioned word. That word hallowed means holy. That word means to anyone who can hear it, that I am your heavenly Father, and I am not like your earthly father. I am not like your earthly father. There are people who have had wonderful fathers. Fathers who were what they needed to be at the important points in their life. But even as wonderful as an earthly father could be, Jesus was saying, you have a father in heaven. I have a father who is hallowed, who is so unlike anything you have ever known on this earth, who's so unlike and altogether different than anything you have ever experienced in an earthly father. Hallowed means I am not like any kind of earthly father you have ever known. And that Jesus was saying, when we come to this Father, this heavenly Father, this perfect parent who loves us, whose life is bound up in us, who has committed all the resources of heaven, who gave his Son that you and I may become like our Father, who's going to meddle with us, who's going to change us, who's going to put his name upon us, who's not ashamed of us. He says, I'm not like any earthly father you have ever known. I cannot be corrupted. No matter what you have experienced, I am not selfish, our Heavenly Father is saying. I am never in a rage. I am never brutal. I am never uncaring. I am never neglectful. I am never remote and absent from you. I never desert you when you need me the most. I am hallowed. I am altogether different than anything you have ever known. And Jesus was reminding us that is who we're praying for. That is who, every time we feel like I need to pray, or God teach me to pray, or take the scourge where I feel like it's only my duty to pray, but there's nothing in it. At times, God, it just feels like a duty. It feels like I almost have to be whipped there, or God, sometimes it seems so hard. Jesus is saying, you know, when I get away, the first thing on my lips is Father. And immediately I am comforted. Immediately I know I'm understood. Immediately I know there is nothing on earth like you. Lord, help me to raise my eyes up to heaven where you dwell uncorrupted. Help me now. Help me now not to compare you to anything I've known, because you're altogether different, and it's only by your Spirit you teach me who you are. God, you are holy. You are hallowed. There's a respect and an awe when I come into your presence that feels right. There is this sense that God, you, my Father, are my God. And you, Lord, when I get into your presence and I want to know you as Father, and I want to know you as God. I want to know that wonderful combination, that it feels good to honor you. It feels good. You call out the best in me. There is a duty and a sacrifice that you can call forth from me, my Father, that I want to do. That I want to give you my best. I think of that word hallowed in its old-fashioned meaning holy. And I've said it many times before, but I believe that that word holy means whole. And that Jesus said, I am holy. Our Father is holy, and he says that's the promise you have. Every time we go to our Father, he looks down and he may see the holes in us, and he's committed to making us whole. He sees every hole. He sees everything that's not made right, and he loves us, and so he knows how to make us whole. He says, keep coming to me. I am your Father, who've committed to making you holy as I am, to making you as whole as I am. Keep coming to me, because this is my plan for you. This is my desire for you. I am separated. It's like our Heavenly Father was saying, and Jesus was trying to teach us. Our Heavenly Father is separated from all corruption. There is nothing of pettiness in him. There's nothing mean or debasing or corrupting in him. And his goal is to keep working with us till we become like him. He's committed to the end. He who began it will finish it. He's not going to start and halfway say, this was too much. We have a father that says no right to the bitter end. If I have to make my bed in hell with you, I will go there, because I'm a father that doesn't give up on his children. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how I find you. He says, I'm not ashamed of you, because I'm your father. I'm not ashamed of you, even though I see all. No, I'm committed to making you holy, unlike anything this world has ever seen. To put something of in you that the world just can't put their finger on. They say there's something different about you. Yes, I'm like my father. Hallelujah. Hallowed be his name. His name, the name of God, his name will never be erased from history. There'll never be a time that God will not be known on this earth. There'll never be a time that God will not visit people somewhere in every culture, every nation, every tribe, that he will not show up and reveal himself through his son, Jesus Christ, and then take them the next step and say, I'm your father, and I'm here to defend you. I'm here. Your enemies become my enemies. I take my sword out of my word, and I'm going to teach you how to defend yourself against your enemies. I'm going to show you my son. I'm going to show you, my daughter, what I have brought you into, the family you've been brought into, that my name will never be erased from this earth. My name will always be known. There'll never be a time that human beings will not be called out and chosen by me and brought into my family and made like me, that all the world may know you are loved and I have a family on this earth. My name will never be erased from history. Be proud of his name. Be proud of his name. Do not debate. Say, Lord, help me now not to be ashamed of you. Lord, just let me rest in the fact that my father has made a deposit of his life in me because of his son, Jesus Christ. And you are working something other in me, and I can rest in that. That, Lord, you love me, and you're going to show me day by day as I pray and say, Father, you see all and you don't turn away. God, help me not be ashamed of you. Open my eyes to see the incredible father you are and the promise, the inheritance that you have from me. It says, thy kingdom come. And here is the center. This is the crux in many ways of what is children of God. If we are his children, if we are born again of his spirit, if we want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we're forgiven people. If we are the children of God, the crux of our prayer is thy kingdom come. That is what's at the center every time we pray. That's what Jesus said. We're coming to a father and we're saying, Father, your kingdom come into this situation. That's the center of our prayer. Your kingdom come into my situation. Your kingdom come into my concerns. Your kingdom come into my mind. Your kingdom come into my family. Your kingdom that is perfect. Your kingdom that is ruled and reigned with order and beauty and power. Your kingdom where it's the right thing. Your kingdom, let it come. When we pray, that's what we pray. That's what Jesus said. It doesn't matter. We lay it all before the table, everything that we think should happen, everything we want to happen. And we say, Lord, I ask you now, the greater prayer is thy kingdom come. That's what I want. And the twin to it, thy will be done. As done in heaven, your will is always done in heaven. Now let it be done in my situation. Your will is done in heaven. Now pray as it is in heaven, so in earth. As it's done in heaven, let it be done in my situation right now. I don't understand all what that might mean, but I pray, thy kingdom come into my mind. Thy kingdom come into my situation. Jesus said, pray like this. Thy kingdom come in all of its perfection, in all its astounding and amazing way that it operates so far above our plans and so above our ways. Thy kingdom come into this. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, because I believe the results will be amazing and astounding every time I pray, thy kingdom come into this situation. You will answer that prayer. My Father will show himself strong. His will is done in heaven. Now when I ask it to be done here, first in my mind, in my heart, amazing things will happen because we're praying to a Father who never ever fails us. We're praying to a Father who says, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to bring my kingdom into your situation. As it's done in heaven, I want you to get a glimpse of how it's done in heaven. I'll do it in the earth if you ask me. I'll do it in your mind if you ask me. I'll do it in your family if you ask me. And Jesus was saying the first part of our prayer is all about our Father. It's all about God. We have to frame who are we praying to, exactly who and where. Because if we can get that in our spirit, then no matter what's confronting us, we're always lifted up into heavenly places, looking down at it, not looking from underneath where it's bigger than us. But then Jesus said after we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, Father. He says, then we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And I love that Jesus is saying, ask for yourself now. Do it in the right order. First, recognize who you're praying to. You know, praying doesn't have to, it's not about the length of the time. It's about the heart truly connecting with God. It's about truly connecting to a God whose life is bound up in ours and is listening for our cry. Whose heart is moved when he hears a true prayer, a true heart cry. And now he says, ask. Give us this day our daily bread. Now Jesus is saying, come to your Father and freely ask him what you need. Freely ask him concerning yourself. Freely ask him. And you can ask big because we've just prayed, Lord, thy kingdom come into my situation. Thy will be done in my situation. So it doesn't matter what we're presenting him now is our daily need. As this need that we have, we've prayed a big prayer at the beginning. By that I mean that we bring our mind, our first things out of our lips is Father when we pray, Lord, I recognize who I'm praying to. It can happen in a second or two, but it's the bowing of the heart. It's a bowing of the will. It's a bowing. Before we present our needs, we recognize who we're praying to. And all of a sudden, what the bread looks like a very easy thing for him to provide. Whatever the bread problem or need is. And he says, ask me, give us this day our daily bread. Ask concerning yourself. Is it direction? Do I take this job? Is it about deliverance? Is it about family? Ask me. It's like, I'm your Father. Come and ask me. It's his delight to meet the need. It's his delight as a father's delight to meet the need of his children. Then he says, when you ask for your daily bread, then he says, when you are praying, it says, forgive us our sins. And this is teaching us that as we are praying, we're always open to this in our prayer. Forgive us our sins. That when we're praying, all of a sudden, it's not a distraction, but things can come up in our mind and heart where the water is troubled, where we have missed it. Where we have done wrong. But when we know we're in the presence of a Father who loves us, let it all out. Don't make excuses. Don't hide behind a wall. Don't give it another name. You're in the presence of your Father who's here to make us whole. Forgive us our sin. Forgive us. And when we pray, if this is an issue, if there's something that needs to be dealt with, do it. Sometimes we want to push things aside because when we pray, you know, we're praying for others. We're praying for something. No, Jesus was teaching us when we come into the Father's presence, he who is in unapproachable light, he who sees it all, knows the issue that needs to be raised. He says, I'm here. You need forgiveness for this. We've got to bring it out in the open. You have to agree with me. It's important that we agree with our Father. He says, forgive us our sins. Forgiveness, I think, in this case, always means change. Forgive means change. When we say, Father, forgive me, it's that, well, if I bring it to you now, it's, Lord, because I want change. I may not know how to change, but I come to a God, a Father that will not cast me out. And when I say forgive, we know I mean change. Lord, I must change. I want to change. And then he says, doesn't just forgive us our sins, but as we forgive. And you know, beloved, a clear spirit is our right. Where there's nothing in there, where we are holding a grievance, where we live with a low-grade fever of discontent. It's our right, because God is our Father, to have a clear and shining spirit. Now, he knows what clings to our spirit. He knows as we walk this earth, he knows what begins to want to attach itself to our mind and our spirit. I'm wondering, when Jesus went to pray, he was without sin, but did he have to go to pray because he was being sorely tempted? Because in his humanness, there would have been a temptation to want to hold a clinging to a grievance. What people have said in their ignorance, what people have said in their malice, what people have said against him, when Judas would smile at him. Was there something that he just knew that when he would go to his father, part of the inheritance is a clear spirit where he could just lay down the right and not form a grievance? This must be the matter of our prayers. This must be the concern of our prayers, because, beloved, till our spirit is clear, till we have that clear spirit, our Father will just keep raising the issue. And it's our privilege as children, it's our privilege to say, forgive us of our sin. But then I freely give, Lord, those that have wounded me and those, the grievance, Lord, I thank you. I can come and I know that prayer to be what you want it to be. I need this clear spirit. And if you have to keep praying it day after day, don't think God is getting unhappy with that prayer. Don't think I've prayed this, I've got to stop praying. This is ridiculous. No, it is your right, for true prayer will always, if there is a grievance, if there is something, a low-grade fever, as I say, of accumulated things, our Father is here. Our Father knows the whole situation. Our Father is saying, you see, if you pray, thy will be done on earth. Thy will be done. If we say, God, you just have to come and liberate me of this. I want your will, as it's done in heaven, done on earth. Clear my spirit. Lord, I don't know how to break the grievance. I don't know how to turn the other cheek. I don't know what it is to walk free of that, because I kind of have a spirit that just for a season, sometimes everything clings to it. But I thank you, Lord, that you say real prayer is I deal with it. Real prayer, you say, is forgive. And then if anybody has a debt to something against me, if I know that there's something wrong in this people relationship, God, I keep coming to you in prayer, because you break the power of it there. And that's the right use of prayer. And it's on earth as it is in heaven can be our prayer. In this heart, this earthly heart, as it is in heaven, a clear spirit is my right. And that's true prayer. And he hears that prayer. And Jesus could walk this earth with a clear spirit. Is that why people felt in his presence such an inexpressible light? Because there was no grievance to any man. Flesh didn't own his heart. Flesh didn't own his mind. He walked with a clear spirit through this earth. He knew what it was in prayer. When he met his father would come to say, I've come to liberate you from that. It's an interesting thing that Jesus says, pray like this. When you pray like this. Make sure that the forgiving part, that you receive it and that you give it, make sure that's dealt with. If I raise that issue in your prayer, it is well. I'm here to deliver you. I'm here to liberate you from it. And then an interesting thing, it says, lead us not into temptation. That's King James English, an old English. Lead us not into temptation. You know, the scripture says God doesn't tempt any man. So what is it saying? Lead us not into temptation. I believe it means, please, Lord, Let your legendary patience continue with me. Lord, let your patience that is beyond surpassing, let it continue with me. It's remember your patience concerning me. I think because it's this way, you know, there's part of our heart, either seen or unseen to us, that is still unstable. Even as children of God, there are times our heart can be still wandering, still religiously stubborn, still right in our own eyes, still spiteful, still confused. In spite of all that God has done for us, and in spite that God is our Father who sees the beginning from the end, it's like, Lord, do not lead me to what my heart is clamoring for. In times of foolishness, in times of lustfulness, in times of cold spells, in times of a wandering heart. God, don't lead me to what my heart is saying I want. Don't lead me to what my heart and what my mind is saying. This is what I want. You are my Father, and you really know what I need. Lead me not into the temptation where my heart would take me. Do not give my wayward heart what it wants. Don't give me the quail that brings the leanness into my soul. Don't release me to my lower nature. Be a wall about me, but be a wall to me. Hallelujah. Don't give my heart its desires in those times, oh God. Lead me not into temptation. There can be at the top of my heart in times of coldness or things I don't understand, and I start craving, I start building other altars, I start wandering. But God, I thank you, you're my Father and you understand. You know at the bottom of things what drives me. You understand where I was formed from. You understand the mindset I'm in. You understand the door I've opened that the enemy at times can come in to oppress me. But you are my Father. And you said you will not lead me into temptation, that you will close the door even when my heart in its foolish, cold, wayward states. You say you'll be a wall to me and not let me follow it to its full destructive end, because you're my Father. And you've come to defend me. I'm your child and I need fathering. I need your wisdom. I need your protection. Hallelujah. Lead me not into temptation. Cause me to remember, oh God, your patience with me. Cause me to remember that you see what's going on, but you will be patient. David said, Lord, thy gentleness has made me great. Thy patience has brought me through to a victory. When I should have deserved your judgment, and rightly so, you were patient with me, my Father. That's what a heavenly Father is, an enduring patience. In the face of judgment, he chooses to be Father to us in a way no other human being has been. He is committed to have an enduring patience with us. And that is, lead me not into temptation and deliver me from this evil and every other evil. Thank you, you're so patient with me and you don't deliver me over when at times I surely think I deserve it. And here's where our prayer is inseparably linked to God's patience. Oh yes, more than we know. Maybe sometimes we think we pray good prayers. Maybe sometimes we think we're moving forward in the Christian life. No. Our prayers are inseparably linked to God's patience. God is patient with us because he's our Father. And he knows he's long-suffering with us. He knows what it takes. He knows that it's his love and his mercy is going to break down the strongest of strongholds. He's patient with us more than we see or know. He sees it all, and we've got to trust the way he leads us. When we go to him in prayer, it can be a quick prayer, but it can be, my Father, I thank you that your patience keeps me and prevents me from doing what this silly heart wants to do sometimes, and that you're so willing to forgive me in incredible ways. Hallelujah. And then that brings us then, when it says, when we go to pray for others, after learning how to pray, it says, when we go to pray for others, God is teaching us to persevere in prayer. In verses 5-8, it talks about this idea that we go seeking bread for others at a midnight time. And the whole point of that is to keep persevering in prayer. But beloved, we can keep persevering in prayer. because God has been persevering with us, because our Father has daily persevered with us. And he's showing, don't stop praying. I'm not giving up on you. Don't stop praying. And then don't stop praying for others. Persevere in that prayer. I am long-suffering with you. I'm going to be long-suffering with them. And then we begin to understand that God has patience because he created us as free moral agents. He created man to have choice. We're not robots. And God, every time God says man ought to do something, that implies we have a choice. We should do something, whether we will or whether we won't. It implies that you and I have choice. And when we pray for others, God says, no, I'm not going to impose myself and cancel their will. Impose myself. No, I'm going to work with them just like I'm working with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So keep praying because it's changing you and it's changing them. Be patient. They also be patient. They can make choices, and also there's an enemy that is opposing what you're praying for. It's all through scripture when Daniel would pray and things were prevented from happening because the enemy stood up, because prayers have an effect and the enemy marshals all his forces against prayer that is believing. And it says that you be patient. People are free moral agents. The enemy opposes, but God is doing a perfect work. Scripture says, let patience have its perfect work. A patient God is doing a perfect work. And so verse 9 says, ask, seek, knock. Keep on asking me. Keep on seeking me. Keep on knocking for things. I'm changing. Keep on praying to me. Jesus says, pray like this. Don't give up. God is so patient. He's not giving up on us. You don't give up on him. Keep on praying. Because finally, it says, to close out, it says, if then, verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And I love this thought, because as we're praying, God says, you're asking for that, but I give you much more. You think you're asking for this, and you think you need that. I know everything. I'll give it to you and more, because I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit on top of everything. Because as you begin to pray and keep seeking me, you will naturally begin to ask for the Holy Spirit. You will naturally be asked for that power from on high. You will naturally begin to ask for power to change, power to pray, power to believe, power to receive the love of a Father, power to be comforted, power to for endurance. As you pray, I will begin to give you the Holy Spirit. You'll begin to ask for it. And how much more shall your heavenly, perfect Father give you the Holy Spirit as you pray? There are two things that Jesus left on the earth, the church and the Holy Spirit. They're absolutely inseparable. When the church begins to pray, the Holy Spirit comes into the church. The church and the Holy Spirit, as they come together, that is the great need of the hour, that the church begins to pray in the Holy Spirit, that the church begins to know who they're praying to and why they're praying, that their eyes are open to the great power of the prayer, because the Father who loves us is the one listening, who is going to answer far much more than we could ever know, who promises to send the Holy Spirit and lace it through our prayers and change us in an incredible way. In our praying, we will be stirred to ask for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And those are the prayers that always get answered. Because if the Holy Spirit starts the prayer, if it's the Holy Spirit's idea for prayer, that prayer always gets answered. And God is returning to his church. In the last days, the New Testament church is going to be a church that knows the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him? Because in all you're asking, you're going to ask for the Holy Spirit. You are. It's going to be birthed in you because your Father knows that's what we need the most. In spite of what we ask him, he knows we need that and how much more. And so we can come with confidence tonight, saying when Jesus says, when you pray, pray this way. Pray this way. Pray this way. Prayer will become vital. Prayer won't be boring to you. Prayer won't be a duty. Prayer will be connection with your Father. Prayer will be connection with your Father. And you and I will be more moved into wholeness. You and I will be moved into the Holy Spirit. And you and I will, I believe, till the day Jesus comes, we'll learn how to pray vital prayers, alive prayers, not a length of time, not a formula. We'll pray this way, that they get answered in an incredible way. Hallelujah. Will you stand with me? If you're here tonight, and you are saying, I don't feel even like I have a connection with my Father. The prayer that he always hears is, Lord God, if you're real, show yourself to me. God always answers that prayer because he started that prayer in you. That was his idea. It's his thought he's putting in. God, are you real and are you out there? If you want to pray tonight, God, I don't know you as my Father. Tonight, can I tell you, you can know God as your Father because he sent his Son. Tonight, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is here. Jesus and the Father, they are one. The Holy Spirit, three God, three persons in one God. You can know the Father. You know him through the Son. And when you come and you open your heart and say, Father, I need to know I have a Heavenly Father. I need to know God's eye is on me. I need to know God does forgive me. I need to know, because I don't know, that I am loved, that I have somebody fighting in my court, that I have hope to change. If that is your prayer, you really want a Father. You really need a Father in your court, who's proud of you, who will change you. You can know him through Jesus. And this altar is open to anyone who, that's their prayer. I'd like to know my Heavenly Father and pray to him so I know that he hears me. And also, if there's anyone who is coming to say, Lord, I'm going to believe you to pray in a way that I need to pray. I'm going to have to trust you to teach me to pray. I want to learn to pray. I want it to not be a monkey on my back anymore, but I want to be brought into relationship. I want to be brought into something that's life to me, that I can hear your voice every day, that I can know you're in my corner, that I can know that you walk with me, that you won't forsake me, that you're patient with me and you don't cast me out when I fail, that you're not like the Father I knew. God, teach me who you are. For those that want to come to this altar for that kind of healing or that kind of saying, Lord, I'm trusting you now to give me the prayer that I can pray like you do, Jesus, where I'm transformed with peace and joy, leaving your presence in a different place. That's your prayer, your cry tonight. Will you join us at this altar as the musicians play? Imagine God is our Heavenly Father. All of us have a Father. In Christ, we have a Father. Hallelujah. I would just like to pray for those that may have had a hard vision of a father. Lord, I thank you your presence is here, Lord. I thank you we have a Heavenly Father, loves us so much. That, Lord, you promise never to leave us. And you will not, God, forsake us. Thank you, Lord, for every wounded heart, Lord, every place of anger, every place of rebellion, every place of pain, every place, Lord, of deep rejection, every place, Lord, where pain was caused by an earthly father. I pray by your Spirit now that, Lord, you would come. Father, you would come. And you would heal you would deliver, Lord. Thank you that you take up our cause now, that you are proud of us and you give us a new name. You give us your name, and now you're committed to changing us. Lord, we have an inheritance in you. We have a hope and a future. You're going to walk with us, Lord. You, Father, you're not ashamed of us. No matter who we are or what we've done, you've chosen us. You've adopted us. You say we're yours. Now, Lord, I thank you that being a good father, you will come and heal now. You will come and wipe away the impression of what the enemy or the world or flesh has done. And I thank you there's healing in your name. There's healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, go deep now by your Spirit and begin to heal these wounds. And Lord, let them, give them a supernatural trust now, I pray in Jesus' name. A supernatural trust to say, Heavenly Father, I trust you. You will do me good and not evil. You're here to deliver me. You're here to change me. You're going to give me everything, Lord. When there was no one there for me, you're now here for me. You will walk this earth with me and you will make me, Lord, I can walk tall. Walk proud with dignity because you're my Father. I'm not forsaken in this world. I don't walk alone in this world. Oh, thank you. You've called yourself a Heavenly Father. And how much more shall our Heavenly Father heal us? If our earthly Father gave us a serpent, he gave us a stone, he gave us something, Lord, that bit us, that weighed us down. You're here, Heavenly Father, to give us so much more. You're here to heal us so much more. You'll give us the Holy Spirit to liberate us and change us. Thank you, Lord. There is no one, Lord, that comes. You'll be left in bondage. We'll be left an orphan. We'll be left rejected. Oh, God, I thank you. You'll show yourself strong for this generation, and you truly will be a father, that they'll hear your voice, that they'll feel your hand upon them, that you will lift them up, oh, God, and you will love them to wholeness. I thank you, God. This generation shall not be fatherless anymore, but you will do the miracle in the heart and in the lives of so many that come to you. Let it happen even tonight, oh God. I thank you that you're our Father. You're our Father that loves us. And you're going to change us and put into our lives what we need. Thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that come those that have come to this altar and they want to know what it is to have you as Father. I pray, Lord, they would open their hearts to Jesus now. Witness in their heart, Lord, if they will come to Jesus, that lovely name, the Son of God. If they will come to Jesus, he will forgive them right now. He will come into their heart and their mind and bring his life and love, and will start the forgiveness process. Thank you now for power to forgive, Lord. I pray everyone that's come to you now, you will give them supernatural power to forgive, to lay down the chains, to lay down the memories in the past. Oh, God, I pray now that people will leave this place, Lord, knowing, Lord, that they can forgive those that have wounded them, that the grievances, Lord, and that wanting to just be turned up, oh, God, you will come now because you're a good Father, and you will heal us now. I thank you we're going to pray like this all the days of our life. Jesus says, pray this way. We won't be ashamed anymore when scenes come to our minds. When we pray, we know, Father, you're here to liberate us in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for the miracle done tonight, Lord, in your mighty name. I thank you for the healing you're doing even now. I thank you for how deep by your Spirit you're going into the darkest places of the heart and the mind. You are wrenching open the door, Lord, and you've come with your life and your light. I thank you, Lord, you're going to lead people through to the victory, Lord, of total forgiveness, of being able to let go, of not holding grievance, of being able to know even when our heart betrays us, you're greater than our heart, that you will always forgive us, Lord, and you will receive us as sons and daughters. You will never forsake us or put us out. Lord, we do thank you for that. Let it change the way we pray. Tonight, let something said stick to our heart and mind, and may we always pray knowing our Father hears us and will answer our prayer. We thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen, and give him thanks, Lord.
This is the conclusion of the message.